we'll do everything in our power to get a Stanley Cup to Nashville, to, like I said, to this great organization. I mean, for everybody in this organization is first class, and yeah, it's a really special day for me, and I'm really happy.
The announcement, Roman Josi, 8 more years in Smashville. 9.059 is the number. So what does that equal out to? 72 million and...
72.472 million dollars.
Guaranteed money.
Yeah.
$1 million.
It's good to be Roman Josi.
It's good to be Roman.
He's had a good year. He's had a solid 2019. Got married, new contract. Been a very good year for Roman Josi. Hair still looks good.
Yep. And he can continue that going in 2020.
Did
you start off with the Winter Classic on New Year's Day and then just keep that good thing rolling right to the middle of June?
Did you guys see Brooks Bratton put this out there, what Pecorine said about Roman Josi? Brooks Bratton on Twitter says, Pecorine with a laugh on Roman Josi. He's this pretty boy, but he still blocks a lot of shots. He plays the game hard. I think a lot of people have the wrong perception of him. But still called him a pretty boy.
Hmm.
The wrong perception, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure what that means.
Well, no, I know what he means. Like, because he's got the, you know, he's got the look, right? He doesn't look like he would be a gritty, grimy,
yeah,
tough, but he's got those attributes. It just doesn't become apparent at first glance.
Matt,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I agree. And Matt Duchesne says that once he wins his first Norris Trophy, he won't be underrated anymore.
That, I think, is a really interesting point, because Roman Josi, since the time he's been a Predator, Shea Weber was a perennial Norris Trophy guy from the day Roman Josi became a regular player. That shadow was there the whole time, even as Josi became an all-star type of player. Then as soon as Weber gets traded, here comes P.K. Subban, who's got, right, an even bigger glare across the league, right, with all – he'd already won a Norris Trophy, P.K., played in Montreal, the persona and the great skill set. And so Roman Josi has always been in that issue. Now he's finally the top dog. Even though he plays with Ryan Ellis and Mattias Ekholm, he gets top billing.
Yeah.
He's the captain. He's the leader. And I think because of that, it'll be easier for him to garner some momentum for the Norris Trophy. There's some factors that go into it. It's kind of like the Heisman Trophy in some ways.
Well,
yeah, right?
I thought it was interesting that David Poile, and I was going to ask him about that, basically called his shot on winning the Norris Trophy, yeah, and even, yeah, threw in this year.
And look,
and referred to him. And listen, when you got Pecorine and Philip Forsberg and all the players they have, he just said, he's our best player. I thought that was something he didn't have to say, but chose to say.
And so, look,
And I don't think anybody would argue. Would,
yeah,
they?
I think that's factually correct. Yeah.
Even in the room.
Sure.
I think they would say, that's our guy.
And they all, I mean, look, you have different players that are the best in certain areas, for sure. But overall, from, you know, skill on the ice, leadership off the ice, you have to put Roman at the top. And that's why he's earned this deal. And he's, you heard David Poile when asked, and he got pressed a few times about the no move clause, and that's something he doesn't like to do. Has he changed his stance on it? He said, this is a unique situation. He is our captain. He wants to end his career here. We want him to end his career here. So, and then, of course, said, has your stance changed? He said, no.
I think it was a little harder, too. And this is, it's hard to know what kind of dynamic this creates in the room, because that's all the most important thing. But I think for a while, out of respect to P.K. Subban and the image that P.K. Subban had and the reputation, and because he is a great player. P.K. Subban is a great player.
Yeah.
But it was hard. You didn't want to disrespect anybody by saying Roman Josi is our best player. But I think even last year or the year before, people might have said, you know, might have been quiet about it. Hey, P.K. Subban is our most well-known player around the league. He might be the most popular player in the game, but the best player on this team is Roman Josi.
Yeah.
I think that was, but people didn't want it. They were careful how they wanted to say it. They didn't want to rub anybody the wrong way. And Roman Josi's not the kind of guy that's out there looking for
Like, hey, I'm the best. Look
right,
at me.
Right. Hey, why don't people say that I'm the best? Right. No, he's not that kind of guy at all, which is why they respect him so much. You know?
Yeah, and Shea was the same way.
Exactly the same way.
Shea and Pekka,
yeah,
you know, no question. They're all that way of, like, they don't care. It's other people that get worked up and worried about
right.
it.
Right. Chris Mason made a good point to me this morning. We were at our production meeting talking about how we're going to talk about this tonight. But he said, what if P.K. Subban played in Toronto or a more well-known market? You know, Nashville is becoming much better known. People know what goes on here now. But still, there's a reputation, and we're, you know, not to disrespect at all anything that Erik Karlsson does, because Erik Karlsson's a great player. He's the highest paid player right now among defensemen. But Erik Karlsson benefited a lot from playing in Ottawa. The reputation, the spotlight you're under when you play for a Canadian team.
Right.
I think it elevates your perception.
But I don't
because
think
I've always
it,
thought Roman Yossi is
a better.
I don't think
it does in the States, though. I don't. I mean, if he would have signed with a Canadian team, yes, but he didn't. He signed that deal in Northern California. I don't believe the perception is the same here as it is up there. I mean, it's elevated north of us, but it doesn't translate as to the levels that it does up there here in the States. In my opinion, it doesn't.
But I still think that Roman Yossi is underrated compared to Erik Karlsson. I've always thought that. I'd take Roman Yossi over Erik
Karlsson.
But
that's the Canadian, but that's coming from the Canadian media.
That's my point. That is
my point. But they're the ones that are doing that. That's what I'm saying. But when you say it translates, I don't think it translates here. I mean, I don't think the States, I mean, Austin Matthews is a big deal up there. He's not as big of a deal here as he is up there. That's just the way it is. I mean, but everybody's a big deal up there. But it's not the same here.
Isn't that what I'm saying? Aren't we saying the same thing?
Well, I'm saying, but I don't believe the Karlsson deal translated to Northern California because of Ottawa. I just think the Sharks overpaid. They were desperate to get a big-time defenseman, and they overpaid.
They definitely overpaid.
Like, if he went from Ottawa to Vancouver and got that deal, I'm like, oh, yeah, I get it. I mean, up there, I mean, he is
right,
he's the cat's meow. I get it.
There's just a lot of narrative that I still see that originates from the hardcore media in Canada that follows the game the closest. There's more people that cover it. There's more, and there's a narrative that develops that Erik Karlsson is the best all around or the best defenseman, and Drew Doughty, who is the next highest paid, right behind him. I just think there's a lot of narrative there that when you really look at the numbers and you really watch Roman Yossi, I would take him over either one of those guys, but I am biased, right? I'm watching him. I've watched him for a lot longer. I watch him a lot closer, but that's kind of what I'm saying is those media tend to watch Drew Doughty and Erik Karlsson especially closer and have for longer. They didn't watch Roman Yossi play or watch him as closely up until maybe a year or two ago when the team really started to ascend up to the top of the standings.
Couple things to pass along on the NFL side of things. The Falcons have cut their kicker, Matt Bryant. So that experiment didn't work very long. And the Bengals have benched Andy Dalton. They will be starting Ryan Finley.
Mm.
So I wonder what that means.
So the tank for Tua watch is on. In Miami and Cincinnati.
Yeah. By the way, was there not a more classic display of Ryan Fitzpatrick last night in the whole tank for Tua?
No.
I mean, I swear he was trying to turn the ball over half the time.
No,
he's not.
He's not trying.
He just does it.
He
looks like he's trying.
He was Fitz magic.
I'm being sarcastic when I say he's not actually trying. Even though I think the Dolphins are fine. We're like, well, go ahead, Ryan. Do what you want to do.
I don't think they're like, what are you doing?
Keep him in there.
Good job, Ryan.
I wondered.
Because it's 14-0. They're up 14-0.
When they're up 14-0.
He kind of helped the Steelers get back in there. I mean, it was some of the decisions he makes.
I would say that's just kind of been his resume. That's kind of what he does. Last night was pick Patrick.
Holy cow.
You get a little bit of Fitz magic.
No, I think we're out of magic.
You get a lot of pick Patrick. Well, there's not going to be any magic in Miami. The only magic is in South Beach.
Good grief. No,
the magic will be when they draft both Tua and Jerry Jeudy and just become you know, Miami Crimson Tide.
Well, I'll ask a question, though. Do we really think that Tua, hands down, is 100% as we sit here today, the number one pick that you want? Or do you think it could change? I'm hearing a lot more Joe Burrows is right now the Heisman front runner.
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily
make him
the
number one.
We'll
see what happens in this game. The game will be...
Yeah, the game is, I mean, the real, a lot of things, implications November 9th. All right, we will come back. David Poyle should be sitting down at our table. We come back on the other side of Darren, Donick, and Chase, live here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Predators and Blackhawks tonight, 7 o'clock, pregame at 6. Everything heard right here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, live at Pete and Terry's Tavern in lieu of tonight's game. Second to last game of the month of October. Tonight it'll be the Blackhawks. I'll have pregame for you starting at 6. Puck drop with Pete and Hal at 7. And everything heard right here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. The general manager, David Poyle, has walked into the tavern. And I said to him before he sat down, "You must feel like your day is done."
I don't know what I'm going to do this afternoon.
Probably take a nap.
It was a great day for the Predators. Obviously a great day for Roman Josi. Real important signing for us. I always felt that it was going to happen. I always felt that Roman wanted to be here. We wanted him here, all those things. Having said that, things don't always go according to the plan in terms of, you know, my exact timetable versus maybe somebody else's. And anyway, we finally got it done, and I'm really happy for everybody, our fans, Roman, ourselves, our owners. I just feel it's a really important signing for our team.
We played the press conference live. So why, David, was it why did you feel it was time to pick up the phone, call his agent, and tell him, we're going to make a deal today? Why was it time then?
Well, we've had numerous conversations. I mean, actually very, very regular conversations. And we've sort of been all around it for, a fair bit of time. But there was other, you know, situations that we didn't quite agree upon. And then Brian and I met Roman in Arizona. We had a good conversation, you know, some about the contract, but more about our team philosophy and where we fit in and what I thought things looked like going forward and his role, all those types of things. And pretty well, it's one thing talking to the agents, which we do, 99% of the time. But I think it was important that Roman knew what I felt and felt of him and his importance to our team and all that going forward. And even though that was not attached to a dollar figure, I think it presented some clarification to both of us. And then we had a couple, conversations with his agents, and we're still off a little bit in terms of what everybody wanted to do. And after that, it was kind of a timeout for a couple of days. I really felt I knew what it was going to take. We had something that we wanted. They had something that they wanted, that type of thing. And just when I called yesterday, I just said, I'm calling to make a deal. And I made the proposal, and they said that they would get back to me with something, and they did. And we just came to an agreement. So it's all good.
So his fast start didn't speed up the process, or Canada writing a lot of articles about this speed up the process?
Well, as I said at the press conference, just as I told his agent yesterday, not so you don't think I'm a front runner, so to speak, or call when all is bad or someone we've lost a game. I mean, I called after Roman played his best game of the season, was a star of the game, a goal and two assists, and then he's named the second star of the week by the NHL. I said, I'm coming to you when you got all the cards, and there was a little bit of a laugh. But yeah. We've been talking so much, and again, these deals never get done. I mean, we can talk all serious about it. They don't get done if the player doesn't want to be here. And the good news was that Roman always wanted to be here. We wanted him, and that's how it gets done. I guess you could talk somebody into something by overpaying them, or I guess that's probably the only way. But I mean, we got such a good thing going here in Nashville right now, and to me it's the total package. And we talked to Roman about this, talked to his agents about this. It's the money for sure, but it's also Nashville, Tennessee. It's our organization. It's the winning that we've done pretty consistently in the last few years. It's the weather here. It's the no state taxes. It's the friendliness of the people. I mean, it is the total package. I mean, There's some great cities in the United States, and then also they also play hockey. So I'm not trying to say that we're the only city that would be a good city to play in, but we are certainly at the top of the list. And if you're happy here and comfortable here, I don't think there's any reason to move. And you know, that's really been our mantra, you know, going back specifically to the Shea Weber Suter time when they left, new ownership coming in, and kind of almost a pact that we would do everything we can to, you know, not lose a player that we wanted to sign. And you know, knock on wood, I mean, we haven't lost a player that we wanted since that time.
With some of what you just said, is that meeting in Arizona, is the purpose to kind of give you a little peace of mind, or let you know what the real lay of the land is if he doesn't give you the answers you're looking for and he's hemming and hawing? Or, you know, when it goes where he's telling you he wants to be here, he loves this, that gives you the peace of mind?
Well, I think it was just getting probably a little stale with the agents and, okay, and us saying the approximately the same things back and forth. And you know, the agents can, they can say don't talk to my client, or sometimes the client won't want to talk to you. But you know, Roman was always easy to approach, easy to talk to, and I mean, I think it was a smart move on his part because it certainly gave me added spark, if you will, to let's keep pushing on this to get this done.
Was it important for you and the organization to make him the highest paid Predator ever because of how you feel about him and what he brings to the table?
It was more important to Roman.
Well, good point. Touche.
Well, you know, what we wanted to do is to pay Roman as much as we could pay him without hurting our team going forward. I think that probably, in one sentence, is probably the best way I could say it. You know, we could play that game if you want, that like, let's say he doesn't sign here and now he's an unrestricted free agent and he can go anywhere he wants. What's he going to get next year? You know, now that it's all said and done, I would say he's going to get, could have gotten a lot more than what we paid him. But again, it's not all the money, and this goes back to the whole package deal with Nashville. All the good things I said, and if you're happy here, I mean, we've had situations where where people thought the grass was greener somewhere else, and you know, it's not always, and I know for sure it's not because I've been a manager for so long. I've dealt in other cities and with other situations. And I don't want to, you know, go too far here, but I think one of those cases was like a Martin Erat, who just got frustrated at one point with either his play or our team's play, and asked to be, you know, traded. Tried to talk him from doing that, and I said it was the wrong thing to do, and you know, you'd be much better off here. But he wanted to do that. I think if you were able to talk to Martin Erat now, he would realize that was a bad move for his career.
Let me clarify.
It turned out all right, though, for the...
It turned out great.
Some guy named Philip.
I want to clarify it currently, because I know previous CBA there was a deal that was bigger. So I just currently the highest paid player. So that's where I was going with that. So I'm mad at Adam a little bit because I told these guys I noticed the 9.059, and I was saving it to talk to you, and then Adam blew it by asking you in the press conference that we were airing. So that wasn't a coincidence, that number, right?
Well, there's a little bit of symmetry there. As Roman pointed out, his birth year is 90 and his number is 59. I mean, why can't we have a little bit of fun along the along the way here? So I think it really resonated with him when the offer was made. I mean, you know, could it be this much higher or that much lower? I don't think that's the point at that time, and I think even that offer probably was, and that specific number probably it resonated such that it was a stimulus to get the deal done.
David Boyle is with us, Predators general manager. And David, it's such an interesting process that you go through and you think about and you read all these people that are trying to analyze it. And you just went through this summer with all those restricted free agents, which kind of changed the market, right? And it's kind of set things on a different course. But at the same time, one of the things that I have to believe is in your mind, too, is you have to be confident that at Roman's age, that he will age well, and you're not paying him for what he has done, but what he is still going to do for the team going forward.
Yeah, and that's not a easy thing to do. I mean, none of us are experts on genetics, other than I kept saying, "Are you
right.
You are related to Roger Federer, correct?"
Right.
So, again, you you know, you make certain bets on certain people. I mean, Roman's lifestyle, Roman's body type, his efficiency of his game. But having said that, 8 years, and it's actually 9 years because he signed this year, and it's eight more years. So takes him to age 38. And again, we've done all the regression things. We've done how many guys are 35 and older playing in the league, and there's only seven or eight defensemen that are 35 or older that are playing in the league. So honestly, we don't know that answer. But if we're going to bet on somebody, you know, Roman, you know, feels like the right guy to bet on that in so many ways. But right now, I love his game. There's nobody in the league. He and Ryan Ellis arguably could be the two best defensemen in the league right now, the way they're playing.
The other thing that came out, and you discussed it at the press conference, was you have been very reticent to give out no movement clauses, but he is just, I guess, that special of a player, and he's a guy that you're willing to do that for, and it's a rare exception.
Right, and I call it unique. I mean, he's going to stay here for the rest of his career. You know, again, this is something, you know, talking to ownership, and this all, again, started with the Suter-Weber, you know, situation, and this certainly will not be a trend, and he deserves it. It makes sense, but it's a one off. And again, you go back to just how this last 6 months have gone. If PK Subban has a no trade clause in his contract, then we probably don't get Duchesne. We probably aren't in a position to correctly to sign Roman Josi. So, you know, you're this close to doing exactly what you want, and you're that close from not having it everything falling apart, so to speak. So it's important. So again, the no trade is for Roman and not for others.
And as you sort of pointed out, I could even sense, I mean, you're still thinking about the puzzle going forward. This team for now is set for the time being. You'll address it as it goes, but You've always thought 2-3 years ahead, haven't you?
Yeah, I think that's what a manager's responsibility is. I mean, you live for the day, but you plan for the future all the time. And and you're exactly right. Like it's like you check this off the box, and I'm thinking, okay, like that last night, this will be a good night's sleep. But no, absolutely not, because I'm thinking of what this does, and you know what Roman's dollars do, what we have available, and you know, for say the trading deadline this year, or you know, for next year, and who we can sign, who we can't, and already thinking, okay, who's going to be a free agent, and you know, lots of stuff like that. So it's that's just the job. It just always the Poils are planners.
So you have that, and you have the now, where the team has played. And as you mentioned, that was a classic Roman Josi game on Saturday. He just sort of lifted the team up, generated enough offense, got it done even without two superstar players that I guess are getting closer. It looks like they didn't skate this morning, but based on practice, if they don't play tonight, they're getting much, much closer, Forsberg and Duchesne.
Yeah, I think they're real close. I guess Duchesne is a game-time decision, but I feel like he's close to playing tonight. And, you know, Forsberg, I mean, Thursday or Saturday, so we're going to be healthy pretty soon here.
David Poile, Predators general manager, is here with us. And you brought up in the press conference about the Norris Trophy, that Roman, you know, you feel like he could definitely win the Norris. And I go back and think about Shea Weber when he was here, and he was a finalist. He was very, very close. And one of the years that Lidstrom won it, kind of like, okay, maybe that could have gone
right
Shea's way. Do you feel like that this organization is in a better position now with Pekka winning the Vezina a few years ago and now Roman being an annual contender for the Norris, that those individual trophies can come here just because of the team?
Yeah, absolutely. The better teams seem to get the recognition. We've been one of the better teams. Roman has been in the top 10 voting probably the last five seasons, so he's been in and around it and what have you. And there's you know, some guys that has some exceptional seasons. For example, right now you got somebody like a John Carlson who's got 20 points. Roman's got 13 points, and that's a record for him. Now Carlson's got 20 points. So, but it's an 82 game season. So again, right now to me, Roman is in the top two or three defensemen in the league if there was voting right now for the Norris Trophy. So I really think he's got a chance. And a lot of it probably has to do with how your team plays, too. If our team continues to play well and he continues to lead us, I think that will sway more people to giving him a little bit more recognition.
You've done a lot of these negotiations over the years, you know, throughout your career, not only here but in Washington but before that. And you've always had assistant GMs to help you along. But how special is it for you to be able to sit by your son at Brian and be able to do these type things now?
Well, it's great because you know, even as though it's father and son, I mean, we actually think a lot differently. I mean, he'd be the first to tell you that in terms of approaches and how he does different things. And again, this was my intention is to have Brian, who's been doing almost all the contracts, to continue that. I was actually thinking that last night. I said, that's it for me. I'm not doing any more. But I get it that, you know, sometimes there has to be a time and a place, and that's not trying to be disrespectful or to trump Brian, but I think it happens within any organization that there's a, you know, a time and a place. But I'm very comfortable with him doing that. I mean, I think I've taught him as much as I know, and my style is my style, and he clearly has a different style and a different way of going about things. And you know, again, it's probably, you know, it's a younger mind, more read, and on negotiations and stuff like that. So it's been fun, but he can take over on that aspect as far as I'm concerned.
You alluded to this a little bit earlier with the future and kind of thinking about things like that. But with this done in October, does it allow you now to focus more on this year's team and doing the tweaks that you need to do to help get this team on a deep run?
Well, and just talking to Jeff Kelty this morning, just on this, just now, here's a few things I'd like to, you know, talk about as far as how I see our team today and what have you. This is what I'd like our pro scouts to be looking at, and, you know, maybe we should have a call at the end of the week type of thing. And you know, I don't think there's anything immediate that I want to do or need to do. I think our team is still, we only play 10 or 11 games, it's still new season, and we got to just have more games under our belt or what have you. But I want to be open for any opportunity. So it's, again, it's probably just normal, you know, how I'm acting or what I want to do. But the good news is we're not sitting here at you know, with a bad record and lots of guys that we're not happy with. I'm happy for the most part with our team, with our individuals. Our team has a real good swagger about it right now. They play confident. We've come back, I believe, four times, three for wins, one for another point. I mean,
and that's just after the trailing in the second period.
Yeah,
there's been other comebacks earlier in the game.
Like that's, yeah. I mean, again, if you're a positive person, that's great optimism. I guess the flip side of that is to say that, geez, what have we been doing in the first part of the game? Like again, we've only got, I think, seven goals in the first period. You'd like to be better there. But we're by far and away the best offensive team in the third period. So there's lots of good things. I mean, every show I did with you guys or any interview I did last year was the power play is no good and this and that's no good. And it was the same thing all the time. Well, now our power play is in the top half of the league. And, I mean, that's fantastic improvement. Our offense, which was not elite, is now at the top of the league it for a start. So there's a lot of good things to be positive about the Predators, but as Roman said in his part of the press conference, there's things that we have to work on, and I know the coaches aren't perfectly happy with different aspects of our game, but all in all, it's a good start.
Well, we're happy that everything got done today. I'm sorry that it affected you going to Elton John last night. That you had to worry about today. I can tell you it was a really good show.
Yeah.
I'm not going to rub it in, but you know, it was a good show. But hey, it's all behind you now.
Well, there'll be another farewell tour.
we have
usually
laughed,
is with those
yeah,
guys.
I was gonna say, yeah. It never really is the last farewell tour, usually. David, thanks for doing this. Good job, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you very much, guys.
We'll see you tonight as well. Yes. Predators and Blackhawks this evening. David Poyle every week, presented by Gary Force Acura and Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. We'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5, The Game. Once again, appreciate David Poyle for joining us, and that every week is presented by Gary Force Acura and Cool Springs Wines and Spirit. Hey, if you are the biggest Bama fan out there and you want to win a chance to win a cabin on the Crimson Tide Cruise, that's going to be on February 10th through the 15th. It's the second annual Crimson Tide Cruise. It'll set sail from New Orleans to Cozumel, on down to Mexico, and on the board of the Carnival Valor. It's a national champion worthy vacation with your favorite Alabama sports legends. Send us at ESPN The Game Nashville a picture by Twitter with the hashtag BamaCruise, or you can upload a pic at thegamenashville.com. Book your cruise at CrimsonTideCruise.com and get your $150 off with the promo code GAME. I know last year people had some fun on that cruise. I don't believe any of our staff is going. I don't believe.
Probably not.
Nick or Marquise? I mean,
they would be the top two candidates.
Sure.
But I have not heard that they're going to be.
You know, Alabama love. Yes. Their RTR love.
Yum, 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 yum. Yeah, they do like the RTR.
I've missed the whole story on how Nick is just being a front runner.
No, there's.
Like, where's his Alabama?
There's family. There's some sort of family deal with that. Yeah, I don't know. But I know it's family related. I do know that part. I don't know exactly what it is. I mean, I just. He's told me before, but he texts me 300 times a day, so I just.
I lose track of
everything.
The text and the tweets.
Yes. And,
from Nick Cale.
Right. So.
The trading deadline is going to be 3 o'clock today in the NFL, and there's a lot of stuff out there swirling. There's no doubt about that. Jets seem to be dangling a lot of things out there.
They're going to trade anybody.
Hey, come and get it. Buy one, get one free. Everything must go today. Today and today only. For the next 2.5 hours, come do your shopping. The holidays is just around the corner.
Yeah. Rich Cimini of ESPN that covers the Jets, we've had him on before, says the hot name right now is Jamal Adams. It wouldn't shock me if he gets dealt.
Andy Dalton has been benched. So Andy Dalton was in the 2011 quarterback class, okay? So all the quarterbacks that were drafted in the 2011 quarterback class, Andy Dalton leads that group with the most starts, most regular season starts. Cam Newton, second. Andy Dalton has 128 career starts. Cam Newton, second with 124. That's obviously due to injuries.
Yep.
Anybody care to guess who's third on that list from the 2011 class?
The 2011 class. Well, that was the Jake Locker class.
Locker is indeed on that list.
Gabbert?
He's not third. Blaine Gabbert is on that list. He's not third. He's close.
Who am I missing?
Colin Kaepernick.
Mm. Colin Kaepernick.
Third.
Okay.
With 58 starts. Blaine Gabbert, 48 starts. Tyrod Taylor, 45 starts. These are regular season starts. Christian Ponder.
Christian Ponder.
36 career starts. Jake Locker.
He won at life, though.
23. He did all right. Nobody should feel sorry for him. Jake Locker, 23 career starts. Terrell Pryor, 10. T.J. Yates, 10. Ryan Mallett.
Ryan Mallett.
8. Greg McElroy, 1.
So Christian Ponder had more starts than Jake Locker?
That is correct.
Wow.
I know.
I would not have guessed that.
By the way, 13. Well, Locker was hurt.
He was hurt, and he didn't start his first year.
That illustrates.
He backed up Matt Hasselbeck.
That's how much he was.
Yeah.
That's how much he was not available, right?
Yeah. The Dallas Cowboys.
But you're right. When you think about it, like if I would have just said, hey, who do you think who had more career starts? I think we all would have said Locker.
I just don't remember Ponder.
I know.
Playing
like
much
you
at
barely
all.
Even remember him. Like, did he even have a memorable start?
I don't think
Christian
so.
Christian Ponder? Doesn't feel like it. If he did, I don't remember it. So I guess it's not memorable, huh?
No, not at all.
I'm drawing a blank. I'm drawing a blank myself.
The Cowboys have touched base with the Jets on Jamal Adams.
The Cowboys are always willing to
play
for the now. It doesn't always work for them.
Well, they need help in the secondary.
Well, everybody needs help somewhere. That's
why you had the deadline. That's why the deadline.
Well, that's why you had the deadline. But that's also the David Poyle. You have to weigh, how does this deal affect me next year? How does it affect me the year after? The fans aren't going to get less interested in the Dallas Cowboys. That never seems to dawn on Jerry Jones, who I think he has much more of a tendency to bite on the, I need help today. I got to do this today. I don't really care about what happens three years down the road as a result.
It's not just Jerry Jones anymore. It's Steven. I mean, Steven is doing a lot of this stuff too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's cut, you know, they're cut from the same cloth. But, yeah, I mean, they're.
But
they're in a position
to
win a division and make a run.
But they have been before. And my point is, since the great days of Aikman, Irvin, and Smith and the great offensive line, they haven't won anything.
No, but you can make an argument that last year when they traded for Amari Cooper, once Amari Cooper got settled with the offense, it worked.
It helped them last year.
Yeah.
And it
worked.
Didn't. Well, it sort of worked. It
and got they won a division.
Yeah. But
I understand.
It's hard to make the call of what helps me win now. And can I win this, or if I hold off on this, does it help me win and have a better team that's better equipped to win at a higher level? That's the dilemma. You don't know the answer either way.
NFL matchup on ESPN, their Twitter site, they tweeted out sack rate defense. So it's according to the sack rate is equal to defensive sacks versus the opponent's dropbacks, okay? The 49ers at 11.8% clip are the best in the league. We were talking about their defense yesterday. I think it's highly underrated. I don't know if they're getting enough pub. I think after them basting Carolina over the weekend, right, people are starting to come to the realization the 49ers defense is for real.
Well, you know, they've never been on national TV, right? They don't get
true.
Those spotlight
that's
games
true.
At all.
That's a good point.
They're always playing when nobody's less people are watching.
I'm bringing this up because second on that list – the Carolina Panthers. I would have never thought that. The Patriots are third. I would have thought the Patriots are one. Patriots are third. Panthers are second at a 10.3% clip. So that's pretty interesting. I didn't realize the Panthers D was faring that well. I guess we haven't done a deep dive into the Panthers. We will this week. The lowest teams, the worst teams, are the Falcons, Jets, and Bengals. No surprise there, right?
Their combined record is not good.
A whole lot of nothing is what is.
I think one win, two wins between them.
Let's talk about this because we haven't really touched on it much. I brought it up to Mitch right out of the gates. The Rams are trading Tlaib and a fifth-round pick to Miami.
He just got traded. That's the second time this year he's been traded.
What?
Isn't it?
No, he was on the
Rams. No, he was on the Rams last year.
He was on the Rams last year. Oh, he went to the Super Bowl. So they've traded him to Miami. So they're like, Tlaib, we're tired of your stuff. We're going to punish you and trade you to the Dolphins. So good luck with that. Good luck in your career.
Why did the Dolphins want him?
I don't know. I have no idea.
So are they going to trade him again today?
And the Dolphins will absorb Tlaib's contract.
There you go.
But they also get a fifth-round pick.
Wow. The Dolphins get Tlaib and a fifth in exchange for what?
For absorbing his contract.
For a future
We'll
pick.
Take the contract for a fifth. That makes
for
sense.
For a future
Okay,
pick.
So that's why they want him.
Yeah.
Future considerations. That's
kind of a hockey-style trade. You notice that?
Yeah.
That is a trend that started happening. We'll take your Marian Hossa dead money to a guy that can't play.
But in return.
But you got to give us something else with that.
Yep.
And so that's become common in the NHL to teams that have cap space.
There's stuff out there circulating that the NCAA, this is Shams.
Yeah, I was going to let you take a.
Sharinia. I hope that's
sure.
right. He is a senior lead NBA insider and an analyst for The Athletic and Stadium. He's based out of Chicago. And he is reporting that the NCAA says it is now modernizing its rules toward likeness opportunities for athletes, and will start to make new changes immediately, but no later than January 2021.
Of course, let's drag this out.
Oh well, that's for them. That's actually good.
We must embrace change.
I figured it would say by 2024 we'll have something.
Right,
we'll do something different.
We'll have a plan. Maybe
it's actually an interesting approach, though, because in the past, it's been more or less. This is not going to happen. This is, whoa. But it's a little bit, okay, we know.
Well, they look like fools if they do that.
We know this is coming, so you got to give us time to sort all this stuff out. And we've discussed a lot of the things that pop up, right? You got to try to make it even for everybody.
Well, there's certainly a lot to figure
out. It can't be one rule in one state and one rule in the other state. It's got to be uniform across the states.
But what I wanted to bring up was something I brought up to Mitch, and we haven't really had a chance to delve in. This is Adam Rittenberg, who has put out kind of a list for Vanderbilt, and he said the potential target for Vanderbilt front and center could be Jeff Fisher. Like I said, we didn't get a chance to get into this yesterday, but one, it's strange timing. And by the way, he's got a list of, you know, Notre Dame's defensive coordinator, Tulane head coach, Clemson's co-OC, Navy's head coach, Ken Niumatalolo. We brought it up briefly, but we really didn't get to discuss it. Mike McIntyre.
But don't you think it's a little premature?
Like this,
to put out a list
just
like
weird
that.
After
the job
win,
is
after
not open.
I know, and well, right. It just after the Missouri win, it's just like
it's just not. It's not cool to do that. Honestly, I that's a little bit against the code. Like I understand if a team is 2-9 going into their last game and it hasn't been announced, but the writing is on the wall. It's a little different when you're 2-5 and you just won a game, right? That's strange timing to me. That you do that,
but what do you make of
just like
this
art?
Because he
wrote the thing on Fulmer,
right.
replacing Jeremy Pruitt after the low point of their season, which was the loss in Florida. Just how bad they looked, and for a guy in his second year on the job,
right?
So I hesitate to sit there and go, this guy's on to something. You know, he's been a reporter for a long time. He's
Adam
a good
Rittenberg
reporter.
Has been around, as Mitch told us, used to be with Athlon.
Yeah.
So he's no stranger. He's been doing this stuff for a long time, covering college athletics.
But let's just, you know, let's pump the brakes a little bit and see what happens on Saturday. They got a game on Saturday.
Okay, but why did this come out? So why?
It's a great question.
Let's guess. Why do you think this came out? And why was Jeff Fisher atop the list?
I mean, it
Jeff
makes
Fisher
a ton of
has
sense.
Told us on the show that he would be interested in getting back the head coaching, he was referring more to the NFL.
That's not true.
I do believe he's always had a curiosity with running.
And he's brought up that he's been studying compliance. That he's studied NCAA compliance.
Did.
And he told us that. He told the morning show that. He even said that to Colin Cowherd.
He clearly spends a lot of time here, so it's an easy connection to make. I would not doubt that somebody maybe gave him a phone call and said, hey, you know, we got this vision for our program. That, I mean, I don't know.
Well,
I'm
in the article,
it
also says Malcolm Turner has already proven that he's not afraid to make a non-traditional hire.
Well, that's
we know that, right?
Very evident.
Yeah.
Very evident.
And Max just sent us this. Malcolm Turner told VU Hustler Sports this morning that the Jeff Fisher news is a completely false narrative and that athletics is not currently conducting a coaching search.
Well,
I mean, what do you expect him to say?
He has to say that.
But
from an official capacity,
sure,
that's absolutely 100% true. But that doesn't mean that there couldn't be a phone call from somebody to somebody, even if it's not a direct say. If the job, just hypothetically,
which is the game,
if it ever happened,
the game that is played,
would you ever have
an
interest in a job like this? You
know, and Darren,
and maybe it's not even as the football coach, maybe as a guy who's an ambassador, or a guy that, you know, just there's any number of ways you can get around the official part of it, and
or what else? Anything else come to mind of how a story about Jeff Fisher could get out there?
Has Jeff Fisher ever been savvy at utilizing sources in the media to
Malcolm's
generate
Jeff Fisher,
some?
Hey, just want to let you know.
Generate some storylines, some attention.
I would say,
I'm hanging
possibly,
out.
Not even a question mark. Possibly,
he knows how to play the game.
Period.
Knows how
I'm
to
just
play
saying,
that game.
He is definitely savvy in that department.
Right.
It's
and
very clear he wants to get back in some capacity, somewhere, somehow, some league.
Keep his name out there.
Yeah,
and there have been times where he has gotten that done successfully, gotten his name out there, when there was absolutely no interest on the other side.
Question.
But it just kept his name going.
Yes.
That's
but
part of the game, which is smart.
As Darren has pointed out several times on this show, and I completely 100% agree with him, I think the game's changed a little bit because of what Herm Edwards is doing at Arizona State.
Makes it much more
plausible.
He
has surrounded himself with the right people, and Jeff Fisher, as we know, as you just alluded to, you know, he's pretty good at playing this game, and Vanderbilt is a job where you need somebody that can play that game. Now, the job's not open. I think it's all rumor right now, but if it were to open up, I don't think it's the worst idea.
I just don't like it. I remember Lou Holtz used to be the one that would be all over this. When he started doing shows, he would adamantly jump in when ESPN would start on their panel. Hey, you know, with this job comes, whatever this, he would say that job is not open. They have a head coach right now.
Yeah.
So I do think that should be the way the media progresses, but we know how the world is, right? People will always speculate.
Well, look, if things get told to you, you know, media members were going to run with that. If they're being told something, especially if it's coming from the horse's mouth, right? I mean, we know that. So I'm just saying, and I have no idea if there's any truth to it at all. I'm just saying, I wouldn't be surprised if, look, it's very clear. I don't fault him for wanting to get back in the game, but he's made it abundantly clear he has no interest in really retirement. I mean, Jeff doesn't have to work. Jeff is set for life. He can do whatever he wants. He has made his money. But it's very clear that, you know, you can only fish for so much and go to Montana so many times or live there for a while. And, you know, it's clear that he wants to be back on the sidelines. He misses that. So would I be surprised if that was coming from a camp? No, not at all.
What would forget about whether Vanderbilt would be interested in him. What would interest him in Vanderbilt? That is,
well, Nashville.
An interesting question.
Nashville.
Besides Nashville.
SEC. Nashville.
But he has to feel like he can win. Right? He's seen Vanderbilt football. He knows that it's a different challenge than it is at Tennessee or USC. Right?
But all jokes aside, if you're Jeff Fisher, you probably feel like, look, he can turn it on with the best. We've talked about it, and this is not a knock. I'm just saying Jeff is very good at that game. Very good. And I'm sure he feels extremely confident that he can go in any living room and talk a family into why their son should be playing in Nashville, right, in the SEC, and at Vanderbilt University. I'm sure he feels very confident that he can go into a room and do that with a family. And you know what? He probably could.
Yeah. And as long as he surrounds himself with the right staff that knows that stuff, yeah.
All right, we'll come back and kick off the fourth and final hour by heading over to West End. We'll bring in Derek Mason, Vanderbilt's current head coach. Yes, he is the head coach. We'll talk to Derek Mason next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.